is the third Sunday in Lent, but I would like to go back and pick out a line that we used in last Sunday's sermon, which came from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, last Sunday, as you remember, we discussed the situation of offering to God a bad love. We're not here speaking in terms of an unlove, nor are we speaking in terms of no love. We are speaking in terms of bad love. Now let us not stop there. Let us stop at the end of the line. There are some things that we have to do. And of course, to do these things is not always pleasant, at least from our point of view. It's not always easy from our point of view. But as we have just read, it is the will of God, our sanctification. To translate that into another way of speaking, we can say that it is the will of God. It is the will of God that every man becomes a saint. Let us narrow that down and make it more applicable to ourselves as we think upon it. That it is the will of God that everybody in this room this morning should become a saint. That is the will of God. But would it not be a presumption to think that everyone in this room this morning will become a saint? Horrible thought that it might be, some of us will become saints. Some of us will more than likely not become saints. Is that not a horrifying thought? That does not mean that those on one side of the communion rail, and they're separate from those on the other side of the communion rail. I didn't say which side of the communion rail we are sitting. I said in the room this morning. And so the law applies to everybody. These are horrendous thoughts that most people do not want to face. I have to face the possibility, God forbid the probability, I myself have to face the horrendous possibility that I may not ever become a saint. That's the possibility. And for me to think otherwise would be a presumption. Remember what our Lord said? Not everyone who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, you recall that, do you not? And so we get to the point a bad living. I speak in terms of bad obedience. I'm not speaking in terms of non-obedience or poor obedience. I'm speaking of bad obedience. I'm speaking in terms of bad chastity. I'm speaking in terms of bad conformity. I'm not saying non-conformity or no conformity. I'm speaking of bad conformity. I think in terms of bad humility, and so on and so on and so on. These are the things that will cause us not to be acceptable to God. Remember that everything that enters heaven has to be perfect. We must remember that. And that we must strive for perfection. We must strive for good obedience and good conformity and good chastity and good all the others. Remember when we take a picture. I have a scrapbook in which I keep photographs, so to speak. In which I keep photographs, and I want this book to be absolutely excellent in every way. And everything that goes in this book has to be excellent. So I take a picture. I take a picture of something that I really want to remember. And I take the picture. And I'm delighted because I have captured the scene that I'm looking for, the scene that I like. And I send the picture off to be developed. And the picture comes back. And I work my way through the pictures to find that one picture that I want so badly. And to my dismay, I find the picture out of focus. All the images are there. Everything that I'm looking for is in that picture. But it's all out of focus. What do I do with that picture? Do I put that picture in the album where I have nothing but good pictures? No. I will simply take that picture that is out of focus and throw it away because it is worthless. And so it is with us, my beloved people, and we have to come to an understanding of such things. When we offer to God a bad love, a bad obedience, a bad conformity, a bad anything, we are offering to God an out-of-focus obedience, an out-of-focus humility, an out-of-focus prudence, an out-of-focus kindness, an out-of-focus compassion, and so on. And because we offer him this which is out of focus, we did the same thing ourselves with the picture we took. We threw it away. Why do we have a hard time to understand that God, in the same manner and for the same reason, will cast us aside? We have no guarantee. Remember, two men went up to offer sacrifice. One was accepted, and the other was rejected. Two men were walking in the field. One was accepted and the other was rejected. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was accepted and the other was rejected. Two men were hanging alongside Jesus on the cross. One was accepted and the other was rejected. We do not have a proper understanding of two things. We do not, first of all, have a proper understanding of hell. Secondly, we do not have a proper understanding of eternity. And we argue perhaps, well, perhaps I'll go to hell. Well, that's only a temporary affair, because in our own lives, everything is temporary. A temporary job, a temporary position, a temporary sickness, a temporary house, a temporary anything is all temporary. And therefore, we cannot understand eternity. And we don't understand hell. We do not understand what hell is like. We don't want to understand what hell is like. As you know, in the mainstream church today, death is not looked upon as a possibility of loss of soul, because everyone who dies, they have the mass of the resurrection. Everybody goes to heaven. Not so. Not so at all. Only those who do the will of God, and who do the will of God in the way that God wants it done, and that personal and private interpretation is not the argument that we are going to be able to get away with when we come face to face with Him. We have obligations, and we must fulfill them. We did not come here. We were not put here in this life simply to come out of it having accomplished only those things which are acceptable, which are pleasing, which we want in our own existence. We were put here for one specific reason, and this we have to accomplish. Nothing else will do. Please keep in mind that just as a picture that is out of focus is not acceptable, so is spirituality, which is out of focus, non-acceptable. Not acceptable necessarily to others around us. We are not the ones to place judgment on the action of anybody. We are not kind. We are not just. We are not pure. We are not forgiving. We are not conforming. Simply because we wish to be acceptable to those around us. That has nothing to do with it. And if we do feel this way, it is because we are unable, or we do not have the grace to be able to lift ourselves up from the natural plane to the supernatural plane. And everything we do has to be on the supernatural plane, or else it is out of focus. Completely so, out of focus, and consequently, non-acceptable. From this pulpit, I wish, since we are on tape, I want this to be on tape, even though it may not be necessarily according to the theme that we're speaking of today. But I want it to be on a record that this pulpit here is only interested in our sanctification, and it speaks only of those things which deal with our sanctification. From this pulpit, we never have, and we never will, speak, persuade, teach, argue, debate, whatever, anything that has to do, that do not have to do with my salvation, namely Pope, conditions of church, conditions of this, conditions of that, conditions of theology, whatever, 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 the disobedience in the church, whatever, whatever, we do not speak of these things. These are things that are left entirely up to the hand of Almighty God. We have nothing to do about it except pray. And therefore, that is why we center our attention only upon those things which have to do with the salvation of our souls. This is all that this pulpit is interested in. This is all that this pulpit asks of you, that your interest be centered only on what I, myself, all by myself, can do to save my own personal immortal soul. That's all. There's nothing else to talk about. Nothing else to talk about. And as you know, when you go to these other churches, wherever, whether it be the mainstream Catholic Church or the non-Catholic churches or whatever, they speak now only on those subjects that are non-committal: sportsmanship, honor, and such like. We're not interested in sportsmanship, my beloved people. We don't talk about things like that. You can outside all you want to, but not in here. In here, we speak in terms of the things that pertain to our souls. And you come to this church with the understanding of what goes on at the altar. Nothing else matters. Nothing. And in order to be able to prepare ourselves for what goes on at that altar, that we be kept in mind always, in every case, who that is at the altar. We have to go beyond the priest. The priest is a nobody. We have to think of who's on the altar. And we have to think also of that which honor that we give to others of our own kind, who, when they are around, that we give them all the honor that is due to their office or position. And we have no hesitation about that. But we are now speaking about the Lord God himself. And we cannot be slovenly about what we do, how we act, or whatever, when we are in his presence. Remember, once upon a time, when the Ark of the Covenant was being carried and it started tilting, something went wrong. And this individual was afraid that it might fall over. And he ran up to hold it in place. He did not have the authority to do so, but he ran up to hold it in place. And because he touched it, he dropped dead. And what did the Ark of the Covenant contain? A couple of pieces of stone and a stick. We have here Jesus Christ himself, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, Almighty God. And the best that we have to offer is never good enough. That is God that we're talking about. Not a stick and not a couple of pieces of stone. True God and true man who dwells in heaven, but who by the very words of a priest dwells here, not in omnipresence as you would find him under the apple trees outside, but we speak here in the sacramental presence. Awesome. Beyond our feeble comprehension. This is what this pulpit is trying to tell us always. If others do not wish to see it that way, all we can do is pray. We cannot force them. When our Lord spoke of the Blessed Eucharist, unless you eat of my flesh, and they said, this is a hard saying. We cannot accept that. What did he do? He let them go. And what did they do? They spoke out their own everlasting condemnation. This pulpit does not deal in jokes or fun things. This pulpit deals only in those things, unpleasant as they may be to hear, that have to do with eternity. What is eternity? I was going to hold this off until the millennium, but I can't wait any longer. You know, for little children sometimes we have to put things in ways that little children can understand. But adults are just, they're worse than children. Children come closer to understanding than adults. Because the children get rid of all of the non-essentials. The adults insist on bringing non-essentials into everything they talk about. So once upon a time when I was a child, the priest was trying to define eternity to us, to make us understand what eternity is like. So he said, by way of example, if it were possible, if once every 1,000 years a little sparrow would go to the great Atlantic Ocean and take out one drop of water from the Atlantic Ocean. Once every 1,000 years, when that sparrow dries up the Atlantic Ocean, eternity will just be beginning. Now, we speak in terms of the great millennium that's coming up. How many trips has the little sparrow made in the last 2,000 years to empty the Atlantic Ocean? 2 trips. 2 drops of water. When he gets finished drying up the Atlantic Ocean, that's when eternity begins. And here we are, my dear people, all bent out of shape because of the dime's worth of non-essentials which we hang on to for dear life. Things that will last not even a blink of an eye in terms of eternity. It doesn't make sense. So my beloved people, as we approach the awesome day of Good Friday, let us, and I have to quit because I'm going over time, the awesome day of Good Friday, let us prepare ourselves as we should prepare ourselves, and let us make certain that our offering to God is not out of focus.